Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Maseches Kreisos Daf Chav Ches, the last and final Daf of our dear Masechta. We are actually on the bottom of Chav Zayin Mabez on the very last line. Omar Belozor, he quotes Omar B'Yoshia, as we learned yesterday. When it comes to the carbon oil of Yerid, so for instance, a person was a Mitzayra, and needs to bring some karbanos at the end of his process. A person entered the Migdash, Mitame Migdash, he entered in a state of tumma. So what type of carbon? Well, it depends on his financial standing. So a wealthy man brings an animal, carbon. Otherwise, it's a bird. And perhaps even down to the mincha, if he's, you know, at that point. What happens if an usher who's meant to bring the behema decides to downgrade? Pretend he's a poor man and brings a bird like a poor man. Does it work? Says the Gemara, Metame Migdash Usher. If the usher is guilty of being Metame Migdash, he's meant to do a behema. Shehifrish Cain. Instead, he sets aside a pair of birds. Likiv Sasa, we turn to the next of it. In lieu of his appropriate carbon, which is the kavis of the lamb. And he turned poor, perhaps because he was presenting as poor, so he turned poor. There's a mission at the end of Mesechas Peah, Chas V'Shalom. A person should never present himself when it comes to, you know, taking tzedakah as though he's holding it when he's really not. And it says Chas V'Shalom can bring a person to actually experience that state of poverty. So in any case, this fellow is trying to get away cheap, and turns out the Hani in fact turns an Ani. So you think perhaps, look, now he's good for a bird, so let him use that bird. The answer is no. Because at the time of designation, it was not meant for him. He had no ability to bring that bird. That bird, in effect, is an unsuccessful attempt at bringing a korban. Hoyel v'nidcha, since it's become pushed aside, rejected, yidacha, gets stamped as rejected permanently. And Rashi explains, we're going like the Yeshita, which we'll discuss later, that an usher who tries to bring in korban ani, lo yatza, doesn't work. So he doesn't have that potential, that ability to do memela, and therefore it's a failed attempt. It's unsuccessful. It's considered nidcha, despite the fact that he currently is good for a bird. But that bird he can't use. Amar Rav Huna, Brid Rishu, Shema Min Atlas. We can learn 3 points from this halacha, which is similar to yesterday's discussion. Shema Min Abalachayim Nidachim. First of all, that even animals can experience that rejection, which turns into a permanent rejection. It's not only inanimate carbon materials, even actual balichayim. You think maybe a balichayim can rejuvenate when he gets back into things. No, once he's been stamped, he's out. Ukdusha stamim matche. Another point. Although this bird never really achieved the status of inherent kedusha, it was never suitable for hakrov on the mizbeach. It was merely monetarily kaddish. That also can affect, can generate a rejection. So don't think only when something is really high up, then it falls down, you know, it can't make it back up. But if something was never really on the top, no, even this, it started the process, it initiated the process of hegdish to some extent, and it was unfit, it's out. V'dicha mi'ikara, v'dicha. Even if the rejection was an initial rejection, it was a non-starter, it was never fit, it was never on the track and fell off, it was never fit, still ha'v'dichui, is considered rejected. Moser of Ukva Varchama, really? A Balchai can become Nitche? Hamavish and Kibbal Pischa, we have a Raisa. So he sets aside a female animal for his carbon Pesach, which is meant to be a Zach, okay, my Pesach before the carbon, before the Yom Tov. Tirashat is Stoiv, Vitimacher, Vyavi, but we have Pesach. What do we do with the Nekeva? Send it out to get a mum, sell it, and buy a Pesach with the money. All the zohar. What if it gives birth to a zohar, which technically is fit for a carbon Pesach? Do we use it directly? No. Again, this indirect system, Yirachit, is Yistoiv, Vimacher, Vyamidova Pesach. Reb Shimon, I mean, who wants to make a Pesach? Why not take the actual behemoth, the Zohar, and use it as a Pesach directly? Shemam, so we can learn from here, Balichayim Inam Nidachim. Despite the fact that his origin, the mother animal, is really unfit, so what? There's no concept of being rejected when it comes to Balei Chayim. So if she's unfit, but the child is fit, she's not stigmatized, not affected by her status. So she's down, but he's up again. Balei Chayim inam nidachim, and is fit for a Karban Pesach. And here we said Balei Chayim do get nidachim. Well, it says the more amulet of Aishas, he responded, Ki amrina anal rabbanan. Yeah, we're talking different shitas. I was presenting the Chachamim Shita, who say Balei Chayim are nidachim. Reb Shimon's really Balei Chayim ainan nidachim. Yeah, you're right, Reb Shimon holds that Balei Chayim does not become rejected. V'agrolei l'makeves, something like these words, it relates to the next price. In any case, even if a Balei Chayim at some point became unsuitable, but if he's back in there, he's in. Sanya, where do we find this point? We have a brisa back in Maseches Yuma. We have the pair of goats. One is meant to be Lashem, you know, the Chatas. One La'azazel sent out to the desert. Meis echad mehen. One of them died. So let's say the Azazel died. So he lost his teammate. No problem. Maybe Chaveros, even though for the time being he's unfit without a teammate. No problem. Maybe Chaveros le'bagrola. Just bring along another goat. Pair him up. You don't need the Hagrola, the lottery system to redesignating. The Reb Shimon. Alma Kassar, apparently he holds. Although, for the time being, the Balei Chayim was unfit, but he can regenerate, rejuvenate, and reactivate his status. Alma Kassara, Balei Chayim, Einan Nidach. Hagrola, Einan Makevis. And likewise, Hagrola is not critical, such as in this case where they did not, you know, designate the replacement through the Hagrola just by way of designation. That's enough. Okay, so you have Machlekes, Balei Chayim, Nidachin, Kointer Chachamim, Balei Chayim, Einan Nidachin, Kointer Pshim. Speaking about designating, Omar of Chizda, you should know, Eina Kinen Mespashes, when a person brings a pair of goats, a pair of birds, one is meant to be a Chatas, one an Oilo. When do we get them labeled? Any time in the process? No, says Rav Chizda, there are two distinct junctures, two distinct moments where you can designate them. Ella only, Ila Blekichas Balim, when the owner buys it in the market. Well, some first explain if he has it, you know, growing in his, you know, he raises, he has his own birds. So when he designates them, basically when he initiates the process, ibas yes koyin, or if he misses that opportunity, he has to wait until the koyin actually goes in his makrovit, then the koyin will go and label them, designate them, one echatus, one oilo. You can't just do it, you know, randomly somewhere in the middle of the process. It has to have in association with the initiation or the culmination of the process. Tezis Shanaman Yuma actually says that it pertains to animals as well, not just to birds. Now when we speak about money, by the way, let's say you're designating money, we'll see more later, that can be labeled, the money can be earmarked as it's being set aside. That's like corresponding to purchasing of the birds. In any case, it's only these moments that allow for designation. The purchase or the akrav. Amar Rav Simi Bar Ashi, my time of Rav Chizda. What's Rav Chizda's source? The Chizda, we have a pasuk that tells us that earmarking can take place only at the time of purchase or akrav. The Chizda, v'lok chashtei seirim, pasuk speaks about her buying the birds. And the pasuk continues, echad lo'ilo v'echad l'chatas. So it can be designated at the time of purchase. And we have another pasuk, v'asa ha'koin, the koin will process them. And the pasuk continues, esa echad chatas. Telling us that the Kohen as well at the time of Akrava can designate them if they hadn't been done previously. Maybe it comes a kash. You can't designate them any other time. But so chatas. So back to Yuma. The Hagrola lottery process is what designates which one of the two goats will be Lashem, which one Lazozel. But so chatas. Only this system can commit it to the chatas process, and we learn how Goyro Oseo Chatas. Only the Goyro can do that. Ve'na Hashem, but merely by way of verbal calling out, verbal designation. That's not going to oisei uchatas. And also vein koine zechatas, the koine as well. Cannot designate it as echatas. You know, at the time of the akrova, it's not a. It's not a way to designate when it comes to the pair of goats and Yom Kippur. There's a very distinct, specific system called the Goyrel, by way of that lottery. But not just designating. Says the Braisa, who says? Sheyachol, perhaps. Meaning, I'll explain to you why we need a special pasuk for this, because otherwise I would think perhaps it would work, even with just verbal designation. Sheyachol. Validino, based on a kal v'chaim, based on logic. Huma, v'makim, shloi kiddush ha-girl, kiddush Hashem. You see, elsewhere, throughout the year, on a standard conventional carbon, girl cannot be used as a designating procedure, because it's only found on Yom Kippur. Kiddush Hashem, it's still, verbal earmarking works. It's only on Yom Kippur, makim. Shekidesh Hagoril, where the goyel works. Wouldn't you agree that that's an addition to the standard system? In addition, of course, Sheikadesh Hashem, verbal designation should work as well. Tamalaymo, we have this pasuk, also chatos. That's why we need the pasuk to tell you a goyel, say chatos, and the goyel can accomplish that, vein Hashem, but merely giving it a name, that will not, I say chatos. End the quote. Let's analyze this brisa. Ketani shamed him with the goyel. The brisa is comparing, making a parallel between the shem, meaning verbal designation, to the girdle process. So, assumingly, they're on the same plane, right? Ma girdle, so just as the girdle, which happens on Yom Kippur, la belikicha, la basia, it's not taking place when they purchase the goats, nor when they are makrivit, it's somewhere in the middle, and still it works, af hashem nami. So let's assume that when we refer to the labeling, the verbal labeling, it also doesn't necessarily have to take place during those distinct junctures. It's not taking place necessarily when you buy or you makrev it, somewhere in the middle. And the Braisa seems to be, you know, assuming that it works. And here we say that it only works during those two specific times. Amar Rava. No, Hachikamar. Let's relearn the Braisa. In line with Rav Chisda's directive. The Braisa means like this. Uma b'mokim shal kiddush ha-girl. B'lekichas b'ayilun b'asiyas ha-kayim. Since we find that elsewhere, in a standard carbon, girl will not activate its kiddusha. Even if it took place when the owner purchased the animal, or the bird, or when he was makrivit. So girl is not an option, kiddush Hashem, but verbal designation will be effective during those two specific junctures, but only those two. Ibel kichas bayim lo avasi eskai. Over here on Yom Kippur, kanshi, kiddush ha-girl, shaloi b'kich. Hear that, the girl works, shaloi b'kich, shaloi b'asi, even if it's not the moment of purchase or hakrav. It works even though it's somewhere in the middle of the process. And then wouldn't you agree that at least Sheikadesh Hashem, that verbal designation could be effective as well if it's done during those specific times. Iba l'kicha iba asya. So that's what I'll think. So nobody's suggesting that Kiddush Hashem can take place anywhere. It has to be during l'kicha or asya. And that's what the Braisa is suggesting. Tamalema, on this we have the pasuk that even this doesn't work. Vaso ochatas. Only the girl process is effective. On Yom Kippur. Hagorel se ochatas. That makes into a karma ochatas vein Hashem, but merely calling out and labeling it verbally will not be ose ochatas. Maybe it becomes another kash. Metame migdash ani. This fellow was poor when he went into the migdash. He needs a bird. A pair of birds, right? Sheifresh maris lekinoi. He set aside money for his birds. Sure, he turned wealthy. Now he needs an animal. After which he went over to his money to his bird fund, and he says, well, look, this $100, Elu L'chatosi, is meant for my chatos. The Elu L'oilosi. And this is for the for my oil. This is for my chatos, this is my oil. The issue is that, unbeknown to him, an usher only brings one behema chatos. When he's an ani, he brings a pair of birds, one chatos, one oil. But when he upgrades to the usher standard, that's just one chatos behema. But he has part of the money designated for the oil. What does he do? Moisif. So he adds money to the chatas portion, and he brings his obligatory chatas from that money. But the other money sitting on the side, the oil money, is not really suitable for him right now. He can't add and bring from the oil money, because once it's been designated for oil, it cannot be used for chatas. Okay, end quote. How does this pertain to us? Let's realize, when did he earmark this money? Well, nowhere. It was already set aside. It was already established as a bird fund. Now he turned an usher and decided, okay, I want to earmark this hundred for the That's not the time of initiation or culmination. How does that fit with Rav Chisda? Well, in this case, the Lekka. We don't have Loi Lekicha V'Loi Asiya. It's not the time of Lekicha or Asiya. Buktani. Maybe Chavasei B'nei Chatosei V'Loi B'nei Elosei. And the Ibraisa clearly regards this money as earmarked, as committed to the Chatos, and that it could use towards the animal, not from the oil anymore, because the oil money has been designated for... How does that designation take effect? Mid journey. Amrav Sheshes. Let's take another look at the price, because apparently it needs some editing. Vatisper, how can you suggest that Masnisa Matakanti at this price is accurately recorded? There's inherently some inconsistency here, because the price speaks about Veheshe V'chakach Amar. What happened? He was Ani. Established the bird fund. Turned wealthy, and then he does... Well, once you turn wealthy, you have no ability to bring a bird, and you can't designate anything for bird money. How could you say, this is for my chatas bird, this is my oila bird, when you can't even bring birds anymore? From Rav Elazar, Rav Oishi, we had the Gemara at the beginning of today's daf. Metami Migdash Asher. An Asher is Metami Migdash, who's liable to an animal carbon. Shehevi carbon adin lo yotze, brings a poor man's carbon, a bird, doesn't work. So how could he earmark this money for birds? So you have to, inevitably, you have to fix up the brisa somehow. So once you're fixing it, fix it all the way to make it consistent with Rav Chisda's halach. Elamai islach lemeimar. Shekvar Omer Mishasani Yos. Oh, so you have to fix the brice to say that actually he earmarked it when he was still poor. Okay, so once you're fixing the brice, modify it a bit more. Shekvar Omer Mishasani for Shosai. He labeled these monies when he was poor, but not after he established the fund. As he was establishing the fund, and Rashi says, that's considered like Shas Lekicha. That's the initiation of the process. At that point, he has the ability to earmark. Perfect. Exactly like Rav Chisda told us. Now, this is all good and well according to Rav Elazar. I'm Rav Yeshia that an usher cannot bring the ani's carbon. Inevitably, the designation had to take place way before he became an usher. And once you're pushing it back, push it all the way back to the beginning when he established the fund. And that works. But Rav Chago, who quotes Rav Yeshia, the Amar Yotza, he holds differently. He quotes Rav Yeshia that but the Evid, even Usher, if he brought birds, he's Yotze. So then we're not compelled to modify the Brisa. Michael Amemus, now we're stuck. Because you have no reason to modify the Brisa to say that the designation happened when he was poor, because it could have happened now too. And if so, it raises the question, how could he designate things midway? So let's modify just a bit. He turned wealthy, and then he purchased the birds. And as he was purchasing the birds, he designated, you know, this is for the chatas, this is for the oilam. Now there's a girsa that's brought down on the side that inserts a whole segment into the Gemara here. So what happens now? So he purchased these birds, but he's really meant to bring a behema. Ketani, I'll just read it from the side. Ketani moisef amevi chayvasev nechatosa. So what he's going to do is, he's going to add some chatas money and buy a behema. Hechi moisef umevi chayvasev nechatosa. How's he going to do that? How's he going to add and bring it to the purchasing of the chatas? To Omar, techo kedushas chatas ha'if iloi mois. Basically, he's going to transfer the kedusha from the chatas ha'if to money, v'chatas ha'if nafka l'chulin, and then that bird will turn into chulin, and moisef min beisi, mois achrimi, bring out some new money, add it to that, till he gets enough to buy an animal, v'zavin l'bay, a chatas behema. Ask the Gemara, hold it. A bird can be redeemed, v'chatas ha'if mi isle pit, how can you redeem a bird? But now we have a Mishnah, ain't life pitney, there's no concept of pitney for a bird. Amar papach, my skinon, was speaking, going to afresh mois l'kinoi. He set aside money for the birds. So he purchased, you know, a bird. He got wealthy. The price means like this. It depends. Yeah, he prayed the zavan. He only bought one bird. If the bird that he bought was elas oifi, was for elas oif purposes, i.e. elas oif crave, and it does, that's a donation. Vani mois the feishin, the remaining money, is just money. So that money can be turned towards the directed towards the purchase of an animal chatas. So he adds some of his own money. He brings a chatas behema. Yeah, he prayed that the zavan chatas, if the bird that he actually bought was a chatas, now he's stuck. Ay chatas azal misa, is going to go to misa because no has no function. The oila azal nedava, the oila money goes to the nedava, and he has to start from scratch. Umaisi chatas behema baisa, and he has to buy a new chatas behema. Okay, now we start a new gemara. Another one or two lines, and we go back to our girsa inside. Gufa. So let's go back and review the machlekes. Amar blazon reishia. It's going to blazon reishia. An usher can't get away with a bird. Metame midash usher shehi becoming an loyatsa. Wealthy velo has no business bringing a bird. It doesn't work. Rav Chag Amar reishia loyatsa. He says you are yaitse. Okay. Now back to the gemara. Meisvi. A wealthy man can get away with a bird. Metera ani shehi becoming usher yaitse. An ani brought a wealthy man's carbon, okay, you've upgraded, great, yatsa. But asher, wealthy, shevi carbon, I brought an ani's carbon, bird layouts doesn't work. Do you have that's a kasha, the Rav Chagam of Eishia? Who says it works? Amalak, she says, where's that Brisa talking? By Mitzera, oh, Mitzera is different. Amalak, Shaniga by Mitzera, Mitzera is different. We have a pasuk that makes it absolute. Demiat Rachmanu, Zeus. This is the way, this is the system. You can't downgrade. An usher has no business bringing birds. Okay, so if you can't modify, then you can't upgrade either. So likewise, an ani, nami, shehevi decided to go up, to upgrade cover an usher, shehevi cover an usher, layatza shouldn't work. It has to be absolute. Well, Adre Kra, the Torah restored it, meaning the Torah does allow it. Where? It says Teras. So you see a Teiras HaMetzorin. Rashi says Teiras has an expansive ring to it. Teirach L'Kulam. One formula for all. Meaning that even an Ani can be covered by the covering of an Asher. V'atani, in fact, we have a Braisa that supports this view. Teiras tells you, the rabbis, to include Metzorin Ani, who decided to upgrade. Shevi cover an Asher Yatsa. Yochel, perhaps, downgrade as well. I feel Osh even a wealthy. Shevi Kavan Ani brought poor man. Shevi Yatsa. Tamalei Mazois. Absolute. Nope, says Rashi. But how do you know which way to go? We have one pasuk limiting, one pasuk allowing. Says Rashi. It's a svara. Malin Bakhaydish. Vilei Meridin. Right? You meant to go up. in matters of Kedusha Ein Moridin, so it makes sense that if one works and one doesn't, it's the upgrade that works, but not the downgrade. Okay, so that's by Mitzerev, a Leilof Minei. Ask the Gemara, okay, why don't we apply the same concept to Matami Migdash? That a downgrade should not work even with the Eved. In contrast to Rav Chaga, who says it does, Amar Krovim Dal, who? This limitation is specific to the Metzorah. In Yadam HaSegas, Metzorah, by the Metzorah we say, who? The Asher Shehevi Karben Ani, who the Leyatza? By Metzorah, downgrade is illegal. Abba Matami Migdash Asher, but by a regular Olivi Yared, a Matami Migdash, even if he's an Asher, although he should bring what he's meant to bring, but if he brings Shehevi Karben Ani, he's Yatza. Okay, so in conclusion, upgrading always works. Downgrading, by Metzorah does not. But otherwise, we have machlekes. We have a chizas chidush. Designation only happens at the time of purchase, or at the time when you're setting it aside, initiating the the process, or alternatively when the coin is being makrivit, as opposed to girl, which does happen somewhere mid process. It's an exceptional thing for Yom Kippur. Continues the Mishnah. So you have a choice. You're sponsoring an oila. Goat or sheep? Which one's better? Rabbi Shimon Omer, although kvasim koidmen le'ezim b'chal makom, looks throughout the Torah, typically, when they're paired together, the Torah does list the keves before the eis. For instance, Rashi says, min ha'kvasim, or pasuk min ha'kvasim, min ha'ezim tikachu, oy le'seb kvasim, seb ezim. So you think perhaps it's superior. Maybe it's better tasting, maybe it's more fit for a carbon for some reason. B'chal makam. Yachal meshein v'charim, perhaps because they're better, ma'am, better than the goats. Tamaleimar v'im keves yavi karbon l'chatas. So by the chatas, it's reversed. After mentioning the izim, then it goes to the keves. What's the lesson? They're both equal. There's no preference. Malam is yashneim, they're both shkulim. They're of equal value. Likewise, Teiran, one type of bird, Koidim Bnei Yoyna, B'chal Malkam, typically a term I mentioned before the Bnei Yoyna, perhaps because they are superior. Yochel Bnei Shein V'charim, man, Tamalayma, we have another pasuk. U'Bnei Yoyna, Oitar L'chatas, here it's the other way. Malama to teach us, it's all one and the same. Sheshneim Shkulin, we find a similar concept in the Torah by Moshe V'Aaron. Moshe is mentioned first, and Rashi explains, we think, no. Now we find that Aaron is mentioned before Moshe to tell you each one has his own distinction, but Shneim Shkulim. Each one is great in his own way. Another example of different but equal, father and mother. Ha'av koidim le'im b'chol mokim. Typically we find the Torah refers to the father before the mother, like Kabe disavicha and then v'asimecha. Yachal perhaps m'pnei shekibed ha'av koidim kibed ha'im. The father's honor perhaps precedes the mother's. Tamalayma, no. Ish imay v'aviv tiroi. In this case, we find it reversed. First imay, then aviv. Melamed, we learn from here, sheshneim, shkul, and the both of equal value. Aval amru chacham, but however, chacham teaches that practically speaking, and the Mashar adds, we're speaking where the mother is married to the father. So in that case, ha'av koidim le'im. B'chal makam. Father's covet precedes the mother's. Why? Mishu who? Because the child and his mother are both bound to the father's covet. The mother also has to respect the father. So ultimately, it's the father's honor that takes priority. Mishu who? Because him and his mother chayoven obligated to honor his father. A similar configuration we find by honoring a rebbe. Vis-a-vis the father, v'chein b'talmud Torah, im zocha ha-bein l'fnei ha-ra, if the son was zocha to learn by a rabbi, ha-rav koidim es-ha-av. So in this case, the rav, he precedes the father in terms of the son's obligation. We're speaking that the father, the rabbi is a primary rabbi, which we call a rabbi muvok. So in this case, his obligation to honor his rabbi precedes the father. Why? Because the father as well has a similar obligation to the Talmud Chacham. So ultimately, when it comes around, it's all heading to the Rebbe. And that's why his cover takes priority. Why? Because the son and his father together are both bound. Continues the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanu, we have a braisa, arba tzvachos. There were four instances where the Azara called out, made a declaration. Arba tzvachos, four callings out. Tzavcha Azara, the Bnei Adam brings that it was a baskal, a heavenly voice calling out. He brings another pshat that is just a metaphor, as though the Azara called out four times, twice to invite and twice to disinvite. Tzvach Rishon, the first time was Hitziu Mikan, send away from here Bnei Eli, the sons of Eli, whose names were Chafni Upinchas, because they're abusing their position of Kahuna Shetimus Ahechal. They, when Matamid Ahechal, the Gemara elsewhere explains that they would delay, they would diddle daddle, take their time in terms of bringing the karbanos of these women who needed to go home, and by taking their time, they delayed their departure and return back home, spend time with their husbands. So that was a sin on their account. And the Azara says, send them away. They're not truly conducting themselves as committed, you know, servants to Hashem. Tzvach Rishniya, the second time it was actually to invite a guest. Pischu she'arim, open the gates. V'yikanez, who should come in? Yoichanan ben Advoi. He was a kohen gadol, talmidei, the Talmud of Shalpinkoi. V'malik reisim because Hashemayim, let him fill stomach with the karbonos. He was very diligent, very conscientious about eating the karbonos, and we're going to see in a minute that ensured that there was no noiser. So he had a big entourage, a family, and lots of kohanim that were associated with him, and they would be very diligent in the fulfillment of the mitzvah of eating karbonos. Amr Olav, in fact, it was said on him, Al ben advai shayo ichal arboim saw. How big was the meal? 40 saw, a huge amount of gezolos, of birds, of karbonos. It turned out to be bekinuach suda, it's just a dessert. What about his primary dish? So actually the Gemara Pesachim says, 300 calves, 300 containers of wine. Amr, in fact, it was said on him, kol yomav, throughout his lifetime, lo yoyo noisar. Bazar, there was never leftover karbonos. They would make sure everything was concluded. Svach HaShlishis, the third time the Azara calls out is invite another tzaddik. Sush Arim Rosheichem, open wide the gates. V'yikanez Elishema ben Pikoy, who as well was a kohen gadol, Talmidei, the Talmud of Shalpinchas, the great tzaddik Pinchas ben Elazar ben Anakim. So the Gemara, the Baskel, identifies him, relates him back to the big tzaddik. Do you think perhaps his family, some say that his family was not on the best behavior, but he was a tzaddik. V'shamish, and let him serve. It's fitting for him to serve. Bikuna gedoyla. Tzvach Rabbis, the fourth time was Pischo Sharim. Open wide, gates open wide. V'tziu yisachar ish kvar b'akoy. Send him out. Shemechabed atzmai, mevazakot shishmaim. He would honor himself at the expense of dishonoring the karbonos, my beavid. How would he conduct himself in a dishonorable way? He wouldn't touch the, he was too finicky to touch directly the karbonos and the blood. He would wrap these material, these, you know, gloves on his hand. And do the avoida. My slickly, what happened to him? Ultimately, he received this punishment, but of course, it's a chesed. When a person, chas v'shalom, needs to be punished, that he gets his retribution in this world, in this temporary world, which ensures him eternal bliss. Now, interestingly, the Gemara relates to him as someone who was mevaza the kachim, because he had this shiroi, these materials, these silks on his... Well, actually, it would seem that it's a more serious issue. What about chatzitza? A kohen is meant to directly be in touch with the karbanos, handle them directly without any barriers. So you would think it would disqualify the karban more than just dishonoring. The Farshim explains, Be'er Shava explains, he says that really, technically, he could have gotten away with it. Tosfos in Sukkah says that it all depends why he's doing it. If a person is doing it derech kavod, an honorable way to honor the carbon, to wrap the carbon, etc. So in that sense, it's sort of a wrapper. It's considered a packaging of the carpet. It's not considered a chatzitza. It's not a barrier. So the issue wasn't because of the material per se, rather it was because of his attitude. His intended purpose was not to honor the korban. It's just the opposite, quite the contrary, to protect himself from the korban. So it was serving him, in which case consider chatzitza, and it's a real issue. So what happened to him? Maislikalei Yanei Malka, the king Yanei Malka and his queen was sitting Havi Yasfin. And what are they talking about? The royal family. What's on the agenda? The menu. So they're having a little bit of a debate. What's better? What tastes better? Lamb or goat? Malka Amar Gadi Yoy. The king claimed it's the goat that's better. Malka Amar, she says Emor Yoy, the lamb. Amar, they figured, okay, who's going to settle this question? We'll ask the expert, the Kohen Gadol, who's heavily involved in eating karbanos. He can give an opinion. The Shaila Yisachar Yishpachar Bar Koy. We'll ask him, the Kohen Gadol, Vekim Lei Kedera. The Bach adds, Vekim Lei the Kamasa. Of course, he's an expert. Every day he's offering karbonis, Kamasa, karbonis, called Yayma, Shailu. So they want to ask him, Shailu, we have a very important question. Is it goat or lamb? He dismissed the question. Amalu says, if you think the goat is better, yes, it's me. Why isn't he offered as a Talmud? Why does the Torah tell us to do lambs? Now, instead of just responding coldly, factually, he made a dismissive gesture as he was doing. Yeah, what kind of question is that? Bali Dama, as he was responding, Ach v'biyadi, he waved with his hand in a dismissive gesture, and the king got insulted. Amalei Malka, the king turns to him, he says, Hoy v'ach v'biyadi, since he had that gesture, kutu liyadi, remove his hand. Kutu liyadi, yamina, remove his right hand. Now he paid off the fellow to do the left instead of the right. Yoiv Shechta, he gave some little bribe to the minister there. Katsul Yadi the smaller, and instead of they removed the left hand. Shalom Malka, the king heard what happened. He got all mad. Amar, he says, look, liktsu namel Yadi dimina. In addition to the left, remove the right hand as well. And Marshal explains that the Iker sin was of the right hand because that's the hand that is meant to do the avoida. So that was the one that was the primary culprit, but the left hand suffered as well because the left hand was used to wrap the materials around his right hand, so the anish was applied to both. Amar Rabbi Yosef, as terrible as this was, but ultimately it was for his own good. In fact, Bricha Rachmana, blessed Hashem, the Shakle, the Yisachar, Ishkvar Bar Koi, who enabled this person to receive his retribution in this world, the Mitravse. His retribution in this, Bahai Alm, Mitravse Minei, so he received his punishment. It was taken from him in this world, which is a tremendous taiva. You know, the Baltani writes, "Ki yashayeh v'asham yechiyach." It's not so simple. A person should be zoich to settle his accounts in this world. So actually, it's a sign of love. It's not something you could just order on Amazon. I want my chet to be taken care of. No. Hashem has to come and as a show of favor. If a person really is sincere in his tshuva and his love to Hashem and his return to Hashem, Hashem gives him the opportunity, ha'yaleinu chas v'shalom, if it's needed, to cleanse things in this world. Amar Vashi. Interestingly, Yisachar Ishkvar Bakoy was a Kohen Gadol, was not aware of the basic fact. He didn't know the Mishnah. He didn't know the Gidei Chumash, which teaches us that actually they're both on the same plane, the sheep and the goat. Amar Vashi will have a Tani Lei. He didn't have a Tani Lei. He wasn't aware of the Mishnah. We just learned this Nan Kvasim Koid Melizim Chalmokim, typically it's sheep before goat. Yochav Neshim of Chorin is because it's better. Tamloima bim Keves. So Keves here is second. Malamai to teach. Sheshnein Shgon Kachas. Ravina Omar. Filu Mikunam Leikoro. Even the psukim, he wasn't proficient with. Tachsiv. Bim Keves Imeiz. That's the pasuk we had in the Mishnah, right? that it's all one and the same? Concludes the Masechta. Amar Blazer Chanina, Tamid Chachamim. Those who are immersed in Torah Marbim, they increase the peace in the world. Shalom Ba'ilu Shanemar, B'chol Banayich, all your sons who are Limudi Hashem. Rav Shalom Banayich, increase the Shalom. Now the second Banayich is read instead of Banayich, Atikri Banayich, your sons, Ela Banayich, that you're builders. You're builders of Torah. You're builders of the spiritual worlds, which in turn sustain the physical world. Now, what's the connection between Torah and Shalom? You see, we're constantly faced with conflict, with struggle, with contradiction. We have the spiritual world, the physical world, constantly clashing, colliding, pulling us in all directions. How do we resolve that apparent contradiction? The answer is through Torah. The Gemara Kedushin says, Hashem declares, look, I created the evil powers, but I created Torah Tavlin. And the Mefarshim explained, Tavlin means a seasoning, a spice. Torah is meant to spice, to give flavor to Gashmius, to enhance the Gashmius, to give it meaning, to give it content, to give it purpose, to give it value. So when a person is connected to Torah and is living on that elevated plane, he has the ability to look down at the physical and say, come up here, let me harness you, let me corral you into the Torah, make that synthesis. Use the Gashmis for the sake of Torah. Elevate it. Convert it to spirituality. Torah Tavon, give it a little seasoning. Give it a taste. Give it a flavor. Reveal its spiritual content. And by doing so, you have resolved all conflict, all battles, all struggle. It's not two separate competing entities. They work together in perfect harmony. You're living a spiritual life, and the physical is now part of that spiritual life. It's beautiful. It's sweet. It has meaning. It has purpose. It's showing. Thank you so much for joining throughout this Masechta, pretty challenging Masechta. It's been a pleasure and a source to learn together. May we always zeicha to live with the Torah, to sleep with the Torah, to dream with the Torah, and to encompass everything, whether it's our physical side, whether it's the world and its physical manifestations, all as part of our Torah journey. Rav Shalom Banach. All the best to you. Mazel tov, and atzlocha rab.
I know you will know since the Zoys after you row. He will know what the yo row. Oh, he's big, they don't know. You will know since the Zoys after you row. He will know what the yo row. So it's time.